Email todaysor@rte.ie.
I'm joined now from Cork by our reporter, Brian O'Connell, who has been looking at issues facing the traveller community in recent days. Brian, yesterday we spoke about housing and accommodation, but today you want to look at the issue of suicide as it affects travellers.
That's right, Sean. I met with the Faulkner family in Limerick. We should say that suicide is seven times higher, the incidence of suicide amongst the traveller community, than it is the rest of society. So I wanted to look at this issue, and I met with the Faulkner family in Limerick. Now, people may remember a little over a year ago, the tragic story of 15-year-old Katie Faulkner and her 17-year-old boyfriend at the time, TJ Donoghue, who was from Tipperary. Now, both of them died by suicide a day apart. At the time, people might remember newspaper headlines talked of a real-life Romeo and Juliet type tragedy. Now, I met Katie's mum, Christine, in Limerick yesterday, and she spoke to me, Sean, for the first time about the tragedy. Katie, as we'll hear now, was in fact her second child to die by suicide.
I had a tragedy there going back last July. My daughter, 15 years old, committed suicide. And I found her myself. I had woken out of sleep and I just went in to check on her because she had her own room, actually. And I went in to check on her and I opened the door and what I had seen, it's going to live with me and haunt me for the rest of my life, you know, because going back a couple of years before that, I had a little boy, James. He committed suicide, and basically it was a night out. It was a New Year's night out, and it didn't kind of affect me as much as finding Katie, you know.
And Katie was 15.
15 years old. She was a dot. She was just a, you know, a lovely child. And
was there any indication that things hadn't been going well for her, that she hadn't been feeling well?
Brian, she didn't look like a child that wasn't feeling. Maybe in her own way, maybe there was something going on. I don't know, because she didn't look like it. She was so happy, outgoing. There was always a smile on her face. I could not see it in her. Maybe there was something. Obviously, there must have been something. You know, I moved out after that happened because I wouldn't be able to stay in, you know, have that kind of torture. Every day did I drive in and maybe, you know, think of it. I wouldn't have to focus with that. So,
And how many other children have you?
I've three kids left now, Brian. I've two little boys and one little girl.
And that is Christine Faulkner there, Brian. Two children dying by suicide. You can only imagine, you probably can't imagine actually, how difficult it is living on a halting site when this happened, I understand.
That's right. And Christine, as she said there, she couldn't live on the halting site any longer after it happened. She found her daughter Katie in the mobile home they were living in. And it's not like, Sean, that she could rearrange the house or, you know, change rooms around. Really, they were stuck in that living condition. So she decided to move out from the site. And that's left her and her three children in a really difficult situation at the moment, as she explained to me.
And we're parked up here, just off a roundabout in Limerick City, and there's a caravan behind us, and that's where you've been living
that's
for the
right,
past
yes,
almost
yes,
2 years.
Yes, I've been here for nearly 2 years now, Brian. I think that living in these conditions so long, you know, I really think it should not be, you know, especially, I mean, I've been through so much of my life. I had my nephew last Christmas Day, which is going to be another awful Christmas morning again, committed suicide as well. It's going to be an awful morning again for us, you know, to face.
Did you ever get any answers about Katie? I mean, people might remember it because the next day, tragically, her boyfriend, I think at the time, took his own life as well.
Yeah. People say this, it could have been you know, it could have been a dispute or a breakup. I don't know, because you live and work away. It's not like years ago that you wouldn't, you know. But
you must think about her every day.
Oh, Brian, she's on my mind every day, every night. You know, I think that she's always with me, and so is James. I'm trying to get the proper solution for the rest of my children, and like, I'm not asking for too much. You know, I mean, I'm just asking for a home that I know that I can keep them safe and well.
So Brian, Christine and her three other children, they've been parked there at the side of the road trying to deal with the grief she has. And what's the story about services like electricity or water?
Well, they have a generator. They don't have any running water, just two big barrels of water when I called there. They're literally at the side of the road near a roundabout. Now, they have been talking to Limerick City Council over the past year and a half at this stage, but the situation hasn't been resolved. Local politicians, they've been in touch with. They've said that they'll help them out, but they're facing into their second Christmas now, parked in this spot. And she's trying to deal with her grief in this situation now. I think I asked Christine as well, just to get to this final clip, Sean, you know, as the mum of two children who died tragically by suicide, what was her opinion of why suicide seems to be particularly a problem amongst the traveller community?
A lot of young teenage travellers you've been talking to, Brian, and, you know, they don't like the way that they're living. You know, their accommodation needs is a lot got to do with it, I think, as well. You know, they haven't got their own rooms. They haven't got their own privacy. Brian, it's not everyone that live in a house that open their own find their 15-year-old child. But everyone suffers in different way and carry grief in different ways.
You seem a very strong person.
Well, a lot of people say that to me. I seem to be a strong person, but I'm not. I'm not a strong person. I think I just hold up for the sake of my children, you know, for the three children that I've left. And I think 'tis the strength of my two angels carry me through it. To give me strength to carry on. Because, I mean, obviously, if there's anyone else, I don't think they would have the strength to be able to do what I can do. I think it's really time for the council to come along and do something proper this time. You know, something secure for them anyway.
And if you could get in a house, is it... be a great Christmas present.
Oh, I think I'd cry going in the door. I obviously think I'd cry going in the door because I think that's, you know, I obviously could live in a caravan. I am really doing this for the sake of my children. Hopefully, with God's help, that this will be an end. You know, and I hope out there that there's children listening to this programme that will say, yeah, I have a problem, I need to go and talk to someone. You know, and I hope that they do that.
Because isn't the thing that... if people realise the hurt and the anguish that something like suicide creates.
Some people say it's the spur of a moment. I do not know. You know, and I have no answers for anyone out there that's listening. You know, all I'm living in is being haunted by this every day of my life, wondering why. Why? Or why, God, did it happen to me?
And it's... Christine Faulkner there, Sean, and she's living with her husband and three children in this leaky 14-foot caravan beside a roundabout in Limerick City. She has been engaging with the council, as we said. She's hopeful that a solution might come, but they're facing into their second Christmas in this situation. And I was asking her, how do you grieve in that situation? She said, well, I don't want the children to see me upset, so I go out into the car and I sit there on my own and cry.
Brian, thank you very much indeed, and our thanks as well to Christine for sharing her story with us. And we'll be talking more about this after the break or after 11 with Fran Keyes of Pave Point. She's their coordinator of primary health care. Right now, though, we'll take a short break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.
But in any event, we move on, and we're in fact returning to the theme we were discussing just before 11 o'clock. I'm joined on the line now by Fran Keyes, who is a coordinator of primary healthcare for travellers. Fran, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sean.
Listening there to Brian's interview with Christine about the tragic death by suicide of her daughter, Katie, why, and he mentioned the fact that there's something like death by suicide is seven times higher among travellers than the rest of the community. Why is that so?
I suppose, firstly, maybe just to extend our sympathies and our thoughts to Christine and her family. The suicide rate, according to the All-Ireland Traveller Health Study, is six times higher amongst travellers and seven times higher amongst traveller men. And it's a complex area, and there's a variety of reasons. Would be things like the internalised depression, discrimination, low self-esteem, there's things like the high unemployment rate amongst travellers. 84% of travellers are unemployed. What we would find is that sometimes travellers need to hide their identity in order to seek employment. So things like that would have an impact on your mental health. Then you've got even things like Christine was saying herself, the living accommodation, the poor outcomes from education, and that whole impact of discrimination. And discrimination itself has been acknowledged by service providers, that there is discrimination in services, and that was acknowledged in the All-Ireland Traveller Health Study for 2010.
Fran, we heard there from Brian's conversation that that Christine's death was the second death by suicide in the Faulkner family. Now, is that a common occurrence?
It is. Again, I suppose mortality rate itself, apart from bereavement through suicide, is higher amongst the traveller community. And evidence would show having time to grieve after a bereavement, and if you have a number of bereavements, you're not getting the chance, and that's impacting on your mental health. But research would also show that if there has been bereavement through suicide, there's double the risk of another family member attempting suicide. So the evidence is there to tell us that. And I mean, again, we've seen that from what Christine is saying as well.
And I understand that you can have children quite young, even in their preteen years, attempting to take their own lives.
Yeah, we have done a piece of work around bullying and bullying in schools, because I think we have to start looking at where it happens when travellers are young. And we would have an instance of a 12-year-old young girl who attempted suicide because she was being bullied through school. And we'd have evidence then of other young travellers being bullied through school and it not being addressed in these places. So we've now done some work and we've put together guidelines for traveller parents on what to do if their child has been bullied and how to approach the school and that type of thing.
And are there particular problems associated with the different profile or age profile among travellers compared to the settled community? I understand that 42% of the traveller population is under 15 compared to about half that in the settled population.
Yeah, that's correct. It's a very young population, and I suppose what we're seeing when we did the study, we would have just had the statistics around the amount of suicides and they would account for about 11% of the deaths. We wouldn't have statistics on the exact age, but I suppose the evidence that we're hearing through the primary healthcare projects and through the work that the travel organisations do on the ground, that there is a lot of young travellers attempting suicide and completing suicide. So we're saying, if with such a young population there, we really need to be doing something about this and addressing it urgently.
And what about the breakdown as between male and female? Because we know in the wider population, males are at greater risk, or at least there's a greater prevalence.
Well, again, in the study, we would see that it's seven times higher for traveller men than it is for settled men.
So, and for traveller women?
We wouldn't have the exact one, just that generally it's six times higher, but anecdotally we would know that it's higher amongst traveller men, although again, I think what we're beginning to hear about is more and more young traveller women as well.
What about the help that's available? You say there's obviously an urgency about this. I gather there is a self-harm team available.
There's a self-harm team in Temple Street Hospital that work with under-16s who have attempted self-harm. And we would have done some work with Temple Street Hospital because what they found was that travellers weren't accessing their services. And this is what happens sometimes, because travellers actually don't have the information and know that the services are there. So we worked with the team in Temple Street and we developed a resource and we gave the information out to travellers, and we now know that there's an increased uptake of travellers actually accessing that service. And it's things like that and partnership working together with service providers that needs to continue, so as services are made more culturally appropriate and that travellers know about them and feel comfortable using these services.
And what about the idea of helping travellers to educate other travellers? How far advanced? I know you've alluded to that, but I mean, is that done in any kind of a structured way?
It's done in a very structured way. Like, I coordinate a primary healthcare for traveller project within Pavey Point, and there's approximately 30 of them around the country, and they employ travellers as community health workers to deliver health education and information to travellers, and also work with service providers. So that's there, and it's very structured, and it's been proved as a way that works. And what we would say is that needs to be used, and more initiatives like that need to be worked around the mental health. And then service providers also need to take responsibility and take account of the services that they have and advocate for them to become more culturally appropriate.
Fran, thank you very much indeed for joining us. That's Fran Keyes there, Coordinator of Primary Healthcare for Travellers with Pavey Point. We'll be going to Ferguson, Missouri after the break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.